So Sylvia Hobbs is an epidemiologist and biostatistician and GIS programmer. She previously worked for the City of Boston conducting neighborhood health risk assessments and day-to-day epidemiological problem-solving involving environmental hazards. For 12 years, she worked as the Director of Research and Evaluation for the state's Office of Emergency Medical Services, where she co-authored the state's training for ambulance services on collecting race and ethnicity data collection in the pre-hospital setting, and forged the partnerships needed and co-authored the funded NIH R01 grant, analyzing the impact of healthcare reform on trauma care disparities. She's a manager of the State Center for Health Information and Analysis and does research with the University of Massachusetts Health Geography Lab. So, Sylvia.
Background. Mandated all-payer claims data, APCD, sets the stage for limitless population-based ways to explore reducing risk in the delivery of surgical care associated with potentially controllable pre- and post-hospitalization factors. Some of you are probably already familiar with all-payer claims data, but I just wanted to give you a brief overview of all-payer claims data. It contains medical, pharmacy, dental claims submitted by commercial carriers, public programs such as Medicare and Medicaid, MassHealth in our state. These claims come from medical carriers, from specialty carriers, administrators of carved outs, including pharmacy, mental health, chemical dependency, dental, and vision. The APCD also contains eligibility data about the individual insurance plan members, demographics, such as marital status, whether the person is retired, their age of death, enrollment information, providers, insurance products, the product type and coverage type. The APCD data includes coverage and services for the vast majority of Massachusetts residents with public or private insurance because we passed the health care reform law in 2006, and the law includes that all insurers submit their data to the state. It includes data from both health insurance carriers and third-party administrators. Both self-insured and fully insured plans are included. Why is APCD called big data? A lot of you have experience using administrative case mix data, inpatient ED data, and observation stay data. In our state, which has a population of about 6.5 million, 24 years of all the case mix data, the three repositories, ED, inpatient, observation stay, is about 275 million records. And so the past 4 years, the APCD contains over 3 billion records. You have an episode of care in case mix data. You might have over 100 claim lines associated with an episode of care in APCD. There are certain kinds of coverage in our state which are not currently included. Some other APCD states have workers' comp. Our state doesn't. Our state doesn't have TRICARE, Veterans Health, or federal employee plans. There are some managed care that have different Veterans Health products that you do see in our APCD. For our study data, I wanted to distinguish what the APCD data is from what we use. We were one of the very first applicants of the data in 2013. The data as exists now in its newest release contains 2009 through 2013 data, medical claims, pharmacy claims, dental claims, member eligibility provider, and as I said, product, and the carriers are commercial, Medicare, and Medicaid. We are using for this study the medical claims, pharmacy claims, and member eligibility. You might ask, why are we only using commercial insurance when so many injuries are associated with people on Medicaid and the elderly population, Medicare? At the time when we applied for the data, our state MassHealth Medicaid office didn't have a process for reviewing applicants for the Medicaid data. That process exists now. At the time we applied for the data, Medicare data wasn't available. That data is now available. So for future research, we will be including those repositories. The study's objective was to determine the epidemiology of prior hospitalization and anticoagulant NSAID use, not and platelet, and use patients with traumatic injuries as a foundation for profiling operative and postoperative increased hemorrhage risk difference by gender, age, diagnosis, and discharge disposition. We have a secondary objective to determine by age any increased risk of 30-day, 60-day, and 90-day post-discharge death. When you're using administrative case mix data, you can only see deaths that occur in the care setting or a dead on arrival. The eligibility file in the claims data has the date of death that the insurance carrier collects, so you can look at dates of death far out, and it's a very robust tool that we decided to use in the study. Also, if you're reading the papers on what's going on with some of the public carriers, it's a way that they are identifying fraud, hundreds of thousands of dollars claims being paid for dead people. Our study population, broken down by population, age, and gender, the mean age for the population, 50 years old, for males they were younger, 43, and for women older, 57. And the larger, as you know, for traumatic injuries, there were slightly higher portion of males. What we did was to actually, some people are used to using the AIS abbreviated injury score. We use a tool called the Trauma Mortality Prediction Model, which has the ability of looking at five different regions of the body and calculating a trauma mortality risk. What we did with this tool was to actually count the different injured areas of the body. The reason we did this is because of bleeding risk, there's a possibility if there is a cutaneous surgical site that has multiple locations of an injury, the person has a greater risk of bleeding. But clearly here you see on the first line that most of these patients have one injury in one area of the body. But you do see that the lower extremities have the highest number of injuries. Some of the admission characteristics of this population, as you can see, trauma is usually an emergency, but some of those emergency cases, even though the trauma center bar is low, there is some confusion in using the five in the coding, whether five means unknown or trauma center, so some of the emergency cases are actually coming in at the trauma centers. Also, MD referral, if a person is coming via ambulance with the medical control, sometimes that's called an MD referral. For the accident indicator, this data set does not, insurance carriers do not do a very good job in explaining what they mean by an accident. And some of you who use claims data, you'll also see that there isn't a very good job of e-coding because when I speak with the carriers, they say that their warehouse doesn't have a dedicated field for this. But one of the reasons I mentioned the accident indicator, even though the bar is low here, if you don't see an e-code in the dedicated e-code field, we saw that if the accident indicator was yes, we could look at the other diagnosis fields and find that they had been populated with an e-code. So it is a useful tool. And as I said, this doesn't include workers' comp, even though there is a small number of work-related injuries here. Our method, the medical claims and pharmacy claims for 21,323 private insurance beneficiaries in APCD for calendar years 2010 and 11 who required inpatient hospitalization for primary diagnosis of traumatic injury, and we used the American College of Surgeons range to define trauma, and also thanks to our injury prevention staff like Holly Hackman and Jean Halfway, who are in the audience, our definition of trauma also includes drowning and suffocations, traumatic injury, and who during the same two-year period obtained prescription drug therapy, were evaluated for completeness of drug name, date, prescription field, and highest medical claim version. A logistic model we use to determine hemorrhage risk, death risk, by drug use, gender, and age. In looking at hemorrhage risk, hemorrhage was found to be less likely for those on anticoagulants. 11% of those off anticoagulants had hemorrhage, while only 7.8% of those on anticoagulants had a hemorrhage. And this is what we're seeing in the literature. There is some evidence that there's no clear evidence that anticoagulants do contribute to the hemorrhage, but we drilled down and looked at some very specific anticoagulants, and some of the findings were shocking and caught us off guard. And that's like the surprise in this presentation. What? After controlling for gender, gender changes the odds ratio of anticoagulant minimally, and still when we're talking going from 0.66 to 0.68, that's not a meaningful odds ratio. Age and post-discharge deaths. For post-discharge deaths, almost all the deaths are in the over 64 age group. And that's probably somewhat the case because it doesn't include the Medicaid population. There were deaths in the small numbers, but we didn't present them because of cell suppression. And in the age group 64 and older, about half of the deaths occur within 30 days. Keep in mind this data does not include, as I said, Medicare and Medicaid. Age, gender, anticoagulants, NSAID, and hemorrhage risk, there is a 5% increase in risk in bleeding for each additional year of age. Males have 47% increased risk of bleeding. Specific anticoagulant heparin increases risk. While warfarin does not seem to matter, but both enoxaparin and NSAIDs separately were protective. And the interactions between NSAIDs and anticoagulants. NSAIDs interact with heparin to significantly increase odds 4.5, but NSAIDs do not interact with anticoagulants warfarin and enoxaparin. So the heparin NSAID was a surprise to us. Head injury and hemorrhage. Hemorrhage increases the risk with increasing numbers to the head. So the head, you're in a car accident, it's battered around and crushed in several areas. The conclusion, linking the medical and pharmacy data can reliably be used to profile ongoing prescription drug use that may impact injury and healing risk. All anticoagulants and NSAID both make bleeding less likely, and in each case the effect was big and highly significant. However, there's a significant interaction. I think there's that. I have to cross something off there. However, there's a significant interaction between heparin and NSAIDs, which increases the risk and requires further investigation. Also, one of the things you have to keep in mind when you're considering using an all-payer claims data is we began not with 22,000 patients. We began with over 200,000 records, and having to decide on a roll-up, it was easier for us because we were not analyzing costs where we would need to adjudicate which claim line to use. The other issue was making a decision on how to use the pharmacy claims. We looked at all of the pharmacies based on prescription date, looking at the prescription dates closest to the window of inpatient hospitalization. It's very interesting on the previous presenter because we did see some opioids in with the anticoagulants, also antiplatelets and other drugs. One of the beauties of the all-payer claims data, and I mentioned the issue of pharmacy location and geography, we are able to detect Massachusetts residents who are actually in Florida or in other locations geographically or within the New England region, even though their insurance enrollment has their residential address as Massachusetts. We can actually take any service location and map where they travel to get care. So this is one of the beauties of the all-payer claims data. And the other issue, we typically think when we're doing injury analysis that we want to look at pre-hospital care too. We have to get the MS data and link it. in the claims data, you can see the claim line for pre-hospital care, and there is either CPT or HCPF code that is used for the actual time that's billed for the ambulance transport. So these are future areas that can be used that are pretty exciting in the all-payer claims data. Any questions? Yes.
Does the APCP data include the reimbursement or just the charges?
No, it includes, there are probably 7 different currency fills. It includes the charge amount, the paid amount, the deductible amount, the allowed amount, and the allowed amount is actually gives you insight into contractual arrangements between different providers and the insurance company.
That's almost like proprietary information.
We have a data release committee that reviews research applications, and there are insurance representatives on that committee, and some have argued when researchers ask for it that it is proprietary information. But our GIC and the point, our law, wants transparency around the cost. So we have released that currency fill to everybody.
Thanks.
Yes, Dr. Hackman.
Okay, thank you for that. Just let me make sure I'm understanding it. So if you're prescribed an anticoagulant, mm-hmm. you have a traumatic injury, after the prescription goes into the claim, you're less likely to have a hemorrhage diagnostic code associated after the traumatic injury?
If you have a claims for a prescription that was filled before your injury, you are less likely to, not for all of the anticoagulants, you see heparin is a problem, but somewhat less likely to have a diagnosis code indicating some type of hemorrhage.
Okay. That sounds counterintuitive to me.
Well, the issue is when people find this risk with anticoagulants, heparin is clearly a problem. But we were kind of shocked by the warfarin finding and looked at the literature, and we saw that our findings were corroborated in that it wasn't that clear, and in some instances the literature corroborated what we found, but we hadn't seen the heparin odds that dramatic. And also the interaction between heparin and NSAIDs.
So the question I guess I have in terms of the hemorrhage, because I'm very interested in its relationship to traumatic brain injury,
yeah.
and intracranial hemorrhage from trauma.
Yeah.
So, I guess in the hemorrhage codes that you use to define hemorrhage, that could be stratified in terms of hemorrhage
non-intracranial. Yeah, that was something that we could have done, and I can actually send you, because we work the state, the specific diagnosis codes that these patients had. And there's also a diagnosis code for hemorrhaging associated with the actual surgical cut. And so I can send you that information. I didn't put it in this presentation.
Yeah, so it seems like it's a different, one is a hemorrhage from a surgical intervention.
Yeah.
And then the other would be hemorrhage as a result of, if you're on Coumadin and then somebody punches you in the skull, it seems like you're going to be more likely to have a hemorrhage in your skull than somebody who's not punched. Yeah. Who's not on Coumadin.
It would seem, and that's what we thought, but what I would argue is that this same exact study needs to be repeated using, including the MassHealth Medicaid population and the Medicare data.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was curious on, first of all, nice usage of the presentation. I was kind of curious on your E-code rates. So we've been actively using
mm-hmm.
We've done a couple of science studies where we looked at our E-codes, and EDs were abysmally low, probably in the realm of 14% to 16%. We took out a hospital group and compared it to our HDB data set for ECODE, where we're probably in the mid-90s, and the APAC data was unfortunately right around 16% to 18%. Mm-hmm. Even looking across the multiple, multiple ICD-9 fields, we did arrays looking for it, and I was curious if you see a
yes, but the problem is not that the E-code doesn't exist,
yeah,
because the hospitals do a very good job,
yeah,
of E-coding. It's that the insurance carriers don't seem to have a business need for it, and we need to put a higher threshold on it in our submission guidelines to the carriers. But also, what we found was just looking at the other diagnosis fields and repopulating that dedicated field kind of helped, but it is low, and it's not because it's not collected at the hospital.
Yes.
So I think for those of you who want to stay and continue this conversation, that's great, but we've really come to the end of our time, so I'd like to be mindful of that for folks. So I'd like to give a round of applause to all of our speakers.